Welcome to the JOB Wrestling Podcast, the only podcast recorded in Buffalo, New York that brings you all WWE, TNA, ROH, and indie wrestling news. With your host, recording artist, chronic masturbator, registered vapist, blue collar asshole, Miley Cyrus's hairstylist, and a regular at your local strip club, Relentless and Joe City.
How's it going, everybody? This is the JOB Wrestling Podcast, and I am one of your hosts, Relentless, with
Joe Senny.
Right now, we are going to thank you, everybody who listened to the first episode of last week.
We our goal last week was actually just get 20 followers, and we ended up hitting, what was it, like 130 or something like that, so we want to thank everybody for that.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank our Australian buddies answering the 10 count, and you can find them on iTunes. They got us a bunch of guys from Australia, so you can also find us at JOB_podcast on Twitter and JOBWrestlingPodcast.podomatic.com. You can download this podcast, and we are also now on iTunes, everybody, so you can just subscribe to us, and you'll see us on iTunes every week.
Yep, definitely. What's been going on with you the past week?
Past week, I've just been watching the count go up for our podcast and been working, watch Raw, watch some ROH with you last night, watch some TNA with you last night, watch some NXT. Ready to go for this podcast this week. What about you?
I've just been working, got to see my kid finally, watched ROH with you last night, which ROH was amazing. We watched TNA. TNA was okay, I guess. Watched Raw. Raw was pretty good. Other than that, that's pretty much been about it.
So speaking of Raw, let's talk about Raw right now. You saw the return of Batista. He had the nut huggers on.
Yeah, oh my God, the tight pants were just it was pretty funny. And no t-shirt and a friggin' soccer sweatshirt, blazer, whatever it was.
Yeah, this is a total queer. So,
oh God.
Sorry, he came back and he did a little something with Randy Orton. Again, I was working, so I didn't see the beginning of it. I did see when he came back out and beat up Alberto Del Rio. And I'll talk a little about Alberto Del Rio in our Royal Rumble section and our predictions and everything for the week. But that happened. CM Punk came out, talked with Kane.
Yep.
Kane made him number one for the Rumble this Sunday. New Age Outlaws are going to go against Cody Rhodes and Goldust for the Rumble, which we'll talk a little bit about that later on also. Also, with the ending to Raw, you saw Kofi Kingston. Not a whole lot really happened. We're waiting for John Cena to come out. Brock Lesnar showed up, stood off with the Big Show.
Yep.
But the ending to Raw, I know we're kind of going through Raw already, but it was kind of a disappointing Raw for being the last Raw
before the Rumble, yeah.
Before the Rumble. And the ending to Raw I thought was pretty interesting because you saw Kofi Kingston get the win over Randy Orton, which I thought, like I said before, was great. Maybe they're going to push him. But we saw the rematch, and I thought it was great because you can't have Randy, your champion, lose before the Rumble, before a pay-per-view. You can't have that happen.
Correct, 100%. I agree.
And then, but Kofi Kingston, you can't have him lose because you just had him beat Randy Orton. Why would you, you know what I mean? So I thought it was good that Cena came out, whooped a little ass. All right, so you knew Kofi, he couldn't lose because he just beat Orton, so it would kind of contradict itself to just have him lose the next week.
Yeah, definitely.
You'll see him at the Rumble, which I think will be awesome seeing him 2 years in a row. I mean, he did something cool 2 years ago where he did the handstand onto the stairs and then got back into the ring.
Yeah.
And then last year he got hit onto the announce table and he jumped back with the office chair.
Yeah, because so he has the athleticism to do it, so it's very exciting.
Anything else you want to talk about Raw? I mean, also, give us suggestions for the show. Again, at JOB_podcast on Twitter. We have a Facebook page. You can message us on Twitter at HeelCinny and at Relentless716.
Correct, 110%. Yeah, with D. Bry and Wyatt, too, about him turning after last week, he talked about how he was done with the Wyatts and everything and made his decision to become who he was, especially because of the Yes Chance and everything else that goes along with it. I don't know. What do you think about
it? It just doesn't seem... I mean, I think it'll be a good match at the Rumble, but where are they going to go with it? I mean, D-Bry is probably the top face right now. And after this whole Rumble thing, I would like to see it done between them. It's gone on a while, and I just want it done with them. You know, I want them to just get rid of it, the whole storyline after this, because Daniel Bryan needs to be going for the World Heavyweight Champion or WWE Championship or whatever the hell it is. He needs to be going for that. He needs to be the top guy.
I agree.
He needs a belt. Yeah.
I agree without a doubt because of how over he is. He's almost as close to Stone Cold being over as anybody else in this whole entire industry. And you're right, with the whole Bray Wyatt thing or whatever, that needs to just run its course because it's been going on for too long, and they need to go against somebody else instead of Daniel Bryan. Because, yeah, he was with them, and it ended too short. You know, like we said before, it ended way too quick, and it was kind of like, that's it. But, yeah, definitely after the Rumble, he should be done and go for the belt or whatever they have next for him.
Holler if you hear me!
OT3D, you guys are out of your mind coming to Atlanta, Georgia, the place that the Steiner Brothers got their start in professional wrestling. You guys are out of your mind making it a table match, because tonight we're going to beat you at your own game. And after it's all said and done, you're going to be taking splinters out of your fat asses all night long, because you got some fat asses. The only chance you have no chance, but you had a chance, is that you can run lickety-split. You can't run because you got some fat asses. And after it's sun done, we're going to have a tailgate party for all my freaks out there in Atlanta, Georgia. You wanted some? You got some. This is the big time, boys. You come down that aisle. The Steiner Brothers has got something for you. Ooh, 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 ooh. It's a dog pound.
All right, so there's our Steiner moment of the week. That was, I don't know if it was Bound for Glory, TNA.
Could have been.
But it was the Steiner Brothers against Team 3D. Scott Steiner talking about fat asses.
Well, if he's looking at a man's fat ass too much, he's obviously a faggot.
That's right. So he was saying they're out of their minds about four times.
Of course. And especially out of their minds being in Atlanta, Georgia, the home that the Steiners built supposedly, but it's a tables match. Tables match goes hand-in-hand with Team 3D, Dudleys, whatever you want to call them. So he's actually fucking wrong, again, as usual.
I don't know. This Scott Steiner is just, I mean, he makes us good material for every week.
Yeah.
But the shit he says just doesn't make sense. I mean, he's talking about,
would it be sun done?
Sun done, running lickety-split, having a tailgate party for all his freaks in Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, I know there's some freaks in Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, that's true.
So,
look at all the strip clubs and prostitute fucking brothels and all that bullshit they have there. He's got a point, but yet again, Scott Steiner doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Again, if you have a clip you'd like us to use on the show for the Steiner moment of the week, send it to us at JOB_podcast. But that's the Steiner moment of the week. So let's talk a little bit about the Rumble.
It's
coming up on Sunday.
Rumble.
Probably coming over for that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And before we get into the Rumble, we talked a little bit about CM Punk being number one. And I have a little trivia question that we're going to start doing every week. So there were two guys that win the Royal Rumble at number one. Matt, can you name the two guys that won it at number one?
Rey Mysterio and John Cena.
No, you're actually wrong. The two guys that won at number one was Shawn Michaels and Chris Benoit.
Oh.
So I guess the trivia question is going to be, and we'll announce the answer at the end of the show, who are the two guys that won it at number two? And it was within the last 20 years, we'll say.
All right, 20 years is good.
But anyway, at the Rumble, you'll see Daniel Bryan take on Bray Wyatt.
Yes, we talked about that before.
Talked a little bit about that. We'll give our predictions after we name the card. The card's obviously Daniel Bryan versus Wyatt, which you just said. Randy Orton versus Cena, the rematch.
Yep.
You have Big Show versus Lesnar. Mm-hmm. You have the kickoff show, which is free on the app or on the website. It's Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus the New Age Outlaws.
Yes.
And there's a possible Divas title match, be AJ and Naomi, which is possible if they have room for it. And then the Rumble match itself.
Yeah.
Wade Barrett.
The Rumble match itself takes about an hour close to it.
Right. So depending on time constraints, you'll see a Divas match.
Yes.
Wade Barrett was announced for the Rumble this past week. They saw the name was withdrawn. We have some news about that, if you want to get into that.
What I saw on WrestleZone News, because it's one of the sites I always stick to, is he said, I gave up my spot for WWE legend. Hint, voodoo.
Now, that was on his Twitter.
On his Twitter, correct.
The only thing we can think of was Papa Shango.
Yes.
Otherwise known as the Godfather.
Train.
Anyway, we saw him, was it last year, as the Godfather
in
the Rumble? And that's a possibility he can come back.
Without a doubt.
I would probably like to see someone different than we did last year.
Jake Roberts,
but...
Scott Hall, DDP, one of them, yes. If he comes back, he comes back, whatever. It's a legend, I understand, but we need somebody new.
Right. So that'll go right into our predictions. Let's talk about the predictions for the Rumble. Let's start off with Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt. Matt, what do you think?
Bray Wyatt, because he hasn't really won a lot in a while. It's been a long time since he won.
I'm going Daniel Bryan because I think this is going to be his, or at least it should be, his step towards the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I think he needs to build momentum starting right now. I think he needs to win and just continue to win until WrestleMania. Let's talk about the Big Show versus Brock Lesnar. Your predictions on that?
Lesnar wins.
That's it. He just wins.
He wins just because of the fact that Lesnar is only around a certain amount of time, and he needs to win one, lose one, win one, disappear, come back, like he did with Triple H.
I also think Lesnar will win just because it wasn't really hyped up to be a huge match, and I see this just being a stepping stone for WrestleMania. Whether it's him versus Batista.
Him versus Taker.
Him versus Undertaker. Whatever it may be, I see this being a stepping stone for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus the New Age Outlaws. What do you think about that?
New Age Outlaws win. So it can set up Goldust versus Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania.
I also agree on that one. I see Goldust either walking out on Cody or screwing Cody or doing something to where the New Age Outlaws win the titles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a perfect way to do it, have the New Age Outlaws have the titles, and therefore it will just set up another good tag team, whether it's whatever it is.
Yeah, whoever they can line up to put them over.
And then we'll talk, let's do Orton Cena next. What do you think? It's
Cena.
A tough one.
Cena, because they need him to be the face of the company for WrestleMania and to WrestleMania.
I agree with that. I also think... having Orton beat up Cena's dad, that would be pointless if he beat up his dad and then beat Cena. Right?
Yes.
And he's already done that.
Yes.
Numerous times. It seems like Cena's dad is kind of turning into the Mikey Whipwreck of the WWE. Every time he shows up, he gets beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see Cena winning that match, and that kind of leads me into the Royal Rumble winner. I see it being a heel. Whether it's CM Punk or what, I see it being a heel, just because... If Orton were to beat Cena, it would have to be a face, right?
Definitely, without a doubt, yeah.
Cena wins, it's got to be a heel. And I don't really know if it would be CM Punk. I mean, it would make sense because that's the only guy that really kind of stands out.
Mm-hmm.
But would they turn CM Punk heel to go against them?
Yes, because of...
Already, though.
Yeah. Yes, because of the feud they had before. But my only thing with that is Cena wins, okay, and you have a Royal Rumble winner. There's still Elimination Chamber. You got to remember, Elimination Chamber used to go for World Heavyweight. It's still going to exist, without a doubt. So whoever wins the Rumble doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get the belt. Or not the belt, but get the chance to, because you have the Elimination Chamber guy. So where does that fit into play?
See, that's another thing that's tough. I mean, what do they do with the chamber? It used to be a January event. before the Rumble, and it used to be that was for the title. And then they moved it to February, which was also for the title. And then the past couple of years, they've changed it to the number one contender. So I don't really know what they're doing for that, which it's kind of all up in the air what the WWE's really doing. We'll also do something here, Matt. If I were to give you the booking responsibilities for the WWE, you take what you have, and you have the match, you have the card for the Royal Rumble. You pick the winners of that of the matches, and you set up WrestleMania. What do you do?
From Royal Rumble to WrestleMania?
From right now. Say Vince McMahon came up to you and said, I'm giving you the responsibility to book these. Well, they're already booked. But to have the outcome of these matches and book WrestleMania, what do you do?
Okay. We'll start...
with the roster you have.
Okay. We'll start Orton and Cena, which would be Orton wins.
Okay.
Orton goes into WrestleMania.
Which would make sense, because why would you hit Orton both of the belts a month ago and then have him lose it, you know?
Exactly. 110%. Orton wins. After that, Orton wins, okay? And after that, you take him and whoever wins the Rumble, you put against him. But before you do that for WrestleMania, you get the Elimination Chamber guy. Elimination Chamber winner and Royal Rumble winner go head-to-head to see who faces Orton. Daniel Bryan could win the Elimination Chamber because we know he's not in the Rumble. He's a face. Batista could win the fucking Rumble because he's a face. Them two go head-to-head. There's Orton's opponent. WrestleMania. Tag Team Division, New Age Outlaws win. They go, you know, they do some little match against Elimination Chamber. Maybe the Real Americans, okay? And I'm big on the Real Americans for the fact of Cesaro and Zeb Coulter. I'm not a big fan of Jack Swagger. But because the Usos have gotten so much energy behind them and such a push behind them, they win it at WrestleMania. And it starts the new year. On the flip side of that, you take the Divas Division. Because they're not bringing anybody up from NXT.
Well, they might bring Emma up, though.
All right, they bring Emma up. She hasn't been around long enough. Would you think she would deserve to win the title at WrestleMania? No.
Right.
But it's close enough where you think she's going to beat AJ, and AJ still wins at the end of the day. Next, you go to after Lesnar does the whole entire thing with Big Show or whatever. Maybe there's another match at Elimination Chamber or whatever. After that, if they want to do what they say with The Undertaker, and I feel that it would be wrong to do it with Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker because of both their styles or whatever.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it would be a great match.
You split that aside. Kane says, fuck the corporation. I want to be back in the mask. I'm done with this. I just want to be the monster again. Him, Undertaker, last match ever for Undertaker, you know, the end of the streak or whatever they want to call it, officially this time. Kane gets really close to beating him. Undertaker wins, retires the next night on Raw. Over with. Intercontinental. Who's Intercontinental champion right now? Big E. Big E, who's had a little bit of a push and I'm not big on, but Big E's a champion right now. You take Big E and you put him against Dean Ambrose and unify him. Dean Ambrose wins. Dean Ambrose is the better talker, the better wrestler, the whole nine yards with that. Only said it once tonight. Other side of that is you take Chris Jericho, you put him against, who's another up-and-coming guy? Wade Barrett, Fandango again, or whatever, and just do an elimination match that way. Other than that, you really don't have much besides Cody Rhodes versus Goldust after the whole turn with the New Age Outlaws, which would be a great match. You could have Dusty as special guest referee.
Of the fat man himself, Dusty Rhodes.
Where Dusty screws one of them over, and then that's how it goes from the rust on.
That would be cool.
You can go from here.
All right, this is what I would do. You have the Rumble this Sunday. You have Cena just beat Orton because, you know, if Cena goes into WrestleMania with the title, he's not coming out with the title. It wouldn't make sense. I don't see him having a big match with the title and just keeping it. And you got to remember, as much as Cena wins, he also loses just as much. You stick Orton against The Undertaker. But you have him, after he loses the belt, you have him just go on some crazy rampage like he always does and goes against The Undertaker. I think that'd be a great match. And this is if Sting doesn't sign with WWE. If Sting signs with WWE, you stick him with Taker. But I'm just going from what they have right now.
Well, Orton couldn't say I'm the Legend Killer again, version 2, if he went against The Undertaker.
Right, but he couldn't, he can't overdo it, though.
Yeah, he can't overdo it. You're right.
Sean Lesnar, like I said earlier, Lesnar... It's going to be a stepping stone for WrestleMania, no matter who he goes against. I think it'd be a great match to see him against Batista. I see Batista getting eliminated by Alberto Del Rio this Sunday. I'm saying it right now. Del Rio's going to eliminate Batista, and they're going to have a little feud for a month. Batista's going to destroy Del Rio, and then, like I said, it would be great to see a Batista-Lesnar match. I think that'd be a great match. Cody Rhodes Goldust, same thing you said. Have the New Age Outlaws win it. Set it up for an actual tag team, like you said, either the Usos or really anybody, Americans. Whatever.
Anybody, you're right.
Cody Rhodes Goldust WrestleMania match. Now, you said a little something about Cesaro, and I'm going to talk about that right now. Cesaro is the kind of guy that I was kind of telling you last night. He's a guy that is going to be overlooked by everybody because of how many heels there are. You have the Shield, who potentially may break up, they may not. At least two of the three guys are going to be heels.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the top heels, you have Orton, you have, say, the Shield.
Okay.
Say you have
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt and the whole Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
So where does, and possibility of CM Punk maybe turning heel, maybe not. And then you have Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Cesaro fit into this? Hands down, he's the best wrestler in the ring.
Yes, he does old school moves that still are entertaining today.
And he has these matches with Sami Zayn and NXT that are just unbelievable. And I have a feeling they're going to have a match at the live NXT on the 27th. Yeah. I have a feeling they're going to have a match.
Well, but especially with that whole ROH background and them being used to each other.
They have great chemistry together.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm saying right now in the WWE, Cesaro, he should have gotten, if I'm the booker right now, I'm not talking about Booker T. I mean the actual Booker, like Kevin Nash.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you.
So, you give Cesaro the Intercontinental Championship, and you make it the Intercontinental Championship. Back in the day, the Intercontinental Championship meant you were the working man of the company. You were the best wrestler. WWE Championship meant you were the top guy.
You were the most popular.
Right.
All right. Yes, I agree.
And I'm saying you make that Intercontinental Championship what it used to be, because there's no more World Heavyweight Championship.
Yep.
You make that Intercontinental Championship that. You give Cesaro that belt, and you have him go against your Dolph Ziggler's, your Damian Sandow's, your Cody Rhodes', guys like that.
Ziggler's, yeah.
And bring him into something for the fans. I mean, the fans already love him, and you know he can be over with the fans as a heel.
Yeah, he's great as a heel.
And that's what makes a good wrestler. When you're a heel and people can cheer you. It happened with Ziggler.
Yeah.
It happened with Sandow. It happens with Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened with The Rock back in the 90s.
It happened with Austin when he tried to be a heel. They still cheered him.
Right. People cheer him. And that is what makes you
Steen
a great wrestler. So I'm going to get into my NXT news of the week. The first match was Adrian Neville against basically a jobber in NXT. But just hear me out on the rest of this. It's the reason why he went against a jobber. Alexander Rusev, who we were talking might debut at the Rumble,
yes,
in the Rumble match. He beat Xavier Woods in a pretty decent match. And then Sin Cara came out and made the save because he kept beating on Xavier Woods. Natalya came out with Bayley in her corner. She beat Summer Rae, who had Sasha Banks in her corner. And Charlotte actually came back. I know you're a huge fan of.
Who?
Charlotte.
Oh, the Big Beast?
The Big Beast.
The Flair Beast? No, the... Ooh.
Yep. And then Antonio Cesaro made an appearance on NXT. He went against CJ Parker, the Moonchild, who I think's got a really shitty gimmick.
Because they see right through that shit gimmick of yours.
He beat him pretty easily. And CJ Parker later complained to The Miz and slapped The Miz backstage and probably see a match next week with them. And then Bo Dallas came out to have his banner raised because he is the longest reigning NXT champion. And Adrian Neville came out basically talk some shit to Bo Dallas, and Bo Dallas is making fun of him because it took 4 minutes and 45 seconds for Neville to beat basically a jobber to get to the spot. So Triple H came out and told Bo Dallas, if you can beat Adrian Neville within 4 minutes and 45 seconds, that Neville wouldn't get a title shot at the live NXT taping on the 27th. Long story short, it went over the 4 minutes and 45 seconds. There was no pinfall. Neville gets the shot on the live NXT on the 27th for the NXT title, and I hope he wins.
I hope he wins, too. I think he's awesome. I think that finisher, the Red Arrow, was amazing. To see somebody do something like that, I mean, the last aerial move I saw that was that astounding to me was the Jack Evans, was it 620, 630, something like that. Something crazy like that. And Neville's is just amazing, and he executes it so well every single time. I feel that he wins the championship, it'll be in the right hands finally. Because Bo Dallas is just not believable. We said that last week, and still sticking to it, I can agree, and I could speak for you. Bo Dallas is just a waste of time. As to quote Stone Cold Steve Austin, it's just a big piece of trash.
And it will give people the chance, for the people that get that, the WWE Network, to see the stars of the NXT, to see Adrian Neville for what he really is.
Without a doubt, yep.
I mean, he really makes Billy Kidman look like a little bitch with that move. So now we're going to get a little bit into our TNA news. So, TNA we watched last night was the second part of Genesis. What'd you think about it? I thought it was better than last week, though.
Yes, without a doubt. I can agree to that.
And their ratings went up. It's the best since beginning of January, I think they said.
Yes, yeah.
We saw Lance Storm go against Gunner in the Feast
James
of Fire.
Lance Storm. Lance Storm retired in our
That's right, not Lance Storm.
James Storm.
That's right, get that
the
right.
The knockoff cowboy, Shawn Michaels, not believable, waste of a
Drinks
roster.
Drinks beer, just a horrible gimmick. Yeah. It was basically, if you've ever seen a flag on a pole match, it was basically the same match, except it was with the Feast of Fire briefcase, which I think had the TNA Heavyweight Championship.
Yes, it did. It's like Money in the Bank, but a knockoff, and worser ain't a word, but just lower and just kind of a bad knockoff of trying to be Money in the Bank without completely stealing the latter part.
Exactly. So we saw Gunner retain his briefcase against Storm. We saw Austin Aries go against...
Austin Aries, yeah.
Against Sabin. Yes. And I got to say something about Austin Aries. You never trust a man in a cape, as Jerry Seinfeld says.
You are right.
Austin
That's
Aries
my lawyer.
Comes out with a cape. What is Hurricane would say? What's up with that?
Listen, just what you said. The Hurricane is the only one who can pull off a fucking cape. All right? I don't say that word a lot, but he's the only one who can pull off a fucking cape.
That's right.
The Hurricane was great at his character. It was funny. We knew what it was at the end of the day. But the problem is, Austin Aries, why are you coming out with a cape? What are you, Count Dracula or something? The Count of Monte Cristo?
And it's got like sparkles on it, like he's
exactly.
Ric Flair or something.
Yeah. There's no way that you could push doing a cape, all right? I'm sorry. Just take the cape, choke yourself with it if you have to.
But anyway, Velvet Sky was in a cage at ringside. Austin Aries hit the brainbuster on Sabin, and Austin Aries beat him for the X Division Championship.
Yes, which looks like the Intercontinental belt from 10 years ago.
The Jericho belt.
The Jericho belt, yeah, good way of putting it. And the NXT belt in one. Corny-ass belt.
That's
really
right.
Corny.
We also saw a promo for the American Wolves.
Davey Richards and
Eddie Edwards,
yeah.
Which we'll get in the ROH segment a little bit later, but...
Well, they're not technically ROH, so we can
talk
about
We could talk about what happened. That they had a little promo with BJ Whitmer before that. But anyway, the American Wolves, they're getting a tryout match next week. Obviously, they're probably going to win it.
Of course.
And
fuck you and fuck your mom and fuck this and the other.
I'm glad to not see them in the WWE.
I am glad too. It's not even a big thing with me, but they are undersized. They're not believable. Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards are just the two most non-believable tag team wrestlers, or wrestlers just solely.
They remind me of the Midnight Rockers, but like a total knockoff. You know, Shawn Michaels married Jannetty.
Yeah, yeah.
But like a total knockoff of it, and not even.
But at least they could wrestle.
But that was the gimmick back in the '80s.
Yeah.
You know, so.
A point. I see them. I mean, they're the size of the leg of the Dudley Boys and the Legion of Doom and New Age Outlaws. They're just tiny little guys who, as to quote Jerry Lawler, they look like miniature wrestlers. They look like they were bigger on the Lucky Charms box. They're just tiny little guys who, in a tag team, you can't take seriously. I know Kazarian and Daniels aren't the biggest guys.
But they can wrestle.
Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards can't really fucking wrestle. I mean, they got far in ROH because they didn't have really anybody else at the time.
Right.
For as long as they did then, Steen, Generico, all these other guys came into the fold, and then that was kind of pushing to the side, and that's why they're in TNA. But if you look at it now, you guys are going to be in TNA? Come on, the bromans are bigger than you, and that says a whole lot.
And for you guys that are fans of the Wolves, we're from our deepest hearts, we're sorry that you actually like them, guys.
We apologize.
We also watched a match that I thought stole the show, Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode in the steel cage. You saw Kurt Angle hit that moonsault on the top of the cage, missed, but it was a great match. What'd you think of it?
Awesome match. Probably the best match I've seen since the Mr. Anderson Bully Ray feud.
Right.
Especially him doing a moonsault, and I was surprised to see him do a moonsault. I was happy he did a moonsault, but I was surprised after all these years you haven't really seen him do anything that crazy. And it was done very well. The whole match was done very well, except to the end where it was Bobby Roode runs out of the stairs, he grabs him, kicks him away. Runs out of the stairs, he grabs him, ankle lock. And then he goes to run out of the stairs, and then he climbs the cage and is done.
Right.
Too quick of a finish.
Pretty dumb finish.
And too kind of so close. I mean, how many times have they done it in the cage?
Yeah.
But the wrestling inside the cage, aside from all the dumb finish or trying to end the match, was awesome.
It was. I'd agree with you. And we saw Sting go against Magnus. You had Magnus's little crew there with Rockstar Spud. Spud went against Joe, Samoa Joe.
Oh, God.
Samoa Joe just crushed him.
He demolished him. Squash match.
Ethan Carter III, who, for people that follow NXT and follow the WWE, Ethan Carter III was basically Derek Bateman in the WWE. Who was a developmental guy, didn't really get far, and last week he beat Sting, and that was kind of embarrassing, in my opinion. As a fan of wrestling, to see a legend, a Hall of Famer, get pinned by a guy that wasn't even a molecule in the WWE.
No.
It was embarrassing.
It wasn't even a spit stain from Vince McMahon going, "You're fired."
So, Sting lost against Magnus. Magnus kept his belt, and he ripped up Sting's contract, which that brings us into what I kind of want to talk about now with Sting. Apparently he's a free agent, whether it's kayfabe or not. There's rumors, you know, 'tis the season. Every year, staying with the WWE rumors. What do you think?
Well, for the past 2 years, I've been paying attention to wrestling recently. I mean, I have my knowledge. I learned a lot from you in the time I wasn't watching it. Every year, Sting's going to come back. Every year, he's going to come back. And you know what happens? You see Sting in July at a TNA pay-per-view going for the World Heavyweight Championship in TNA. Every single year. No matter what, he's always, "I'm part of TNA, and I love this business, and I did this, and I did that," and everything in between. I'll believe it when I see it. I'd like to see him in the WWE so he can actually get a Hall of Fame that means something, but I don't see it happening because I've heard it too many times, and he does the same thing every year. Right. What do you think?
I mean, I would love to see him step away from TNA and go to the WWE, even if it was one match against The Undertaker and he loses. I'm totally fine with that. Sting, whether he was in WCW to TNA, he was in WWE a long time ago, but it's due for Sting. Yeah. It's due for Sting.
Yeah, it is, so he can finish his career with at least some dignity.
But I hope he does sign. I know it's always rumored around this time of year. I know his contract's up. I mean, it does seem like he is... he's either going to walk away or he's going to be with the WWE. I don't see him re-signing with TNA because it just seems like they're beating a dead horse when he's in TNA.
Yeah, it's boring to see Sting talk about how I've been around forever and I want the title and he never wins the title, and he's at his end. He's at the end of, he's to the pinnacle of Flair, Hogan, everybody else that's in that line. You're right. Too old and you got to stop, because if you don't stop now, you're really going to ruin yourself.
So I do think he's done in TNA. I think they're just going to kick him out of TNA. I'm not saying kicked out of TNA.
Yeah,
I don't see him re-signing with
away.
TNA. Like I said, he's either going to be a guy that walks away from wrestling, or maybe just part of an independent circuit or whatever, or he's going to be in the WWE. That's what I think.
Let's think about this, okay? Leaves TNA. Who else left TNA who was bigger and longer there than him?
AJ Styles.
If AJ Styles will go to ROH, don't you think Sting will go to WWE? But on the flip side of that, just solely on that, what about Jeff Jarrett's promotion that supposedly in the works?
There's a rumor that Jeff Jarrett's getting another wrestling promotion going. I think it was Toby Keith, is it?
Toby Keith, yes, because he has more money to invest.
Right. Rumors that he might come out with a wrestling promotion. I mean, the wheels aren't really in motion yet. That's the thing. So until that happens, we don't really have any ground to talk about it right now, because we're just talking about what we know, you know?
Yes. What with Sting, though, think about this with Jarrett. Jarrett is not necessarily a legend as much as Sting. He wants to start a new promotion. Say that it is, okay? We'll do the what-if factor right now. What if he does have a promotion or whatever? Sting doesn't wrestle. Sting is just a figurehead. Sting is kind of like the Vince McMahon, hey, I'm Steve Borden. You know me as Sting. I'm the GM of this company. I know wrestling for the past 30-something years. I'm going to run this company as the figurehead. That would work. Him leaving TNA, if he doesn't go to WWE and that happens, would work, if you think about it that way. Indie circuit, yes, without a doubt. But that could be a lead-up to what's going on with Jarrett. Just in my mind.
And another thing I kind of wanted to talk about, the TNA Hall of Fame. I talked about a little bit last night. Now, the two inductees, the first one was Sting, and the second one was Kurt Angle.
Not officially, though.
No, he got inducted last year, didn't he?
No, he didn't, because of the rehab situation. That's why he's wrestling Bobby Roode. He says, if I can't beat Bobby Roode, I don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. He won last night, which means he will be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. So we'll say Angle and Sting, right?
Angle and Sting, yeah.
You make a Hall of Fame, it should be your foundation. The first guys. Maybe Sting and Angle belong in the Hall of Fame.
Styles.
But your first guy that should be in it are the guys that got you there. You're Jeff Jarrett. You're AJ Styles.
Yeah, Styles.
You're Christopher Daniels.
Daniels. As much as it's going out on
even
the limb.
Kazarian.
Kazarian. Exactly what I was going to say.
I mean, why bring in
Matt
a guy
Bentley?
that was in TNA years after it was on TV already?
Samoa Joe would be another one.
But even he kind of came out after the fact. But I'm saying when they were on, like, Empire Sports Network.
Yes.
Which is now MSG. The guys you would watch on there, you know, I mean, you had, like, the Road Dogg and
B.G. James.
I think B.G. James and Kip James, I think, was on there,
yeah.
Right? I think Rhino might have been on there. But, like,
Raven.
Like, well, yeah, why aren't those guys in Abyss?
Abyss, definitely Abyss.
How come them guys aren't in the TNA Hall of Fame, but yet you have Sting and Kurt Angle be your first two guys? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but TNA doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, you're right, it's a sinking ship.
Alright, so now we're going to talk about the ROH news. This week, well, actually, was loaded with a whole bunch of stuff. It was only an hour long.
Yes, they packed in a lot.
You saw, I want to talk about Hansen versus Cheeseburger first.
Wow, what a match.
We had this Futures tournament, which we were talking about last week.
Top prospect.
It was, there's 8 guys in a tournament. The winner gets a shot at the TV champion.
Yes.
And we saw Hansen, who looked like a Viking, I guess. He looked like Eric Rowan, but fat.
He looked like one of the Highlanders.
Fat. Yeah.
If you people remember the Highlanders, they were way back. They were around for about 15 minutes.
And he went against this guy called Cheeseburger, who looked like Snoop Dogg. The scrawniest Snoop Dogg.
He looked like a skinny version of Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was so tiny.
So everyone was rooting for Cheeseburger.
They loved him. He was so over.
I don't know why he was over, but he really was. But the finish of the match was the best part of the night when Hansen spinning heel kick right to the eyeball of Cheeseburger. And after the match, you saw, I mean, it was, people say wrestling's fake, but it was real. He really hit him right in the eye.
Yeah, that was not any part of selling.
It was.
His eye was puffed out completely, and he was bleeding.
You got knocked the fuck out, man!
That was not supposed to happen by any means necessary, but it did, and it looked great.
It was awesome. We also saw Jay Briscoe came out with his toy belt as...
the fake belt, yeah, with the red Adam Cole crap says. On it, yeah.
And he challenged Adam Cole, and Adam Cole basically came out and said, I'll let you know next week.
Yeah, and then got out of the ring funny, like a good heel does, and pissed him off a little bit.
And I'm going to talk about Adam Cole after our news here, but Steen versus Cliff Compton. I mean, Steen had a promo about Cliff Compton, who was known as Domino in the WWE.
Yes. Cliff Compton had a promo about Steen on the ROH site, and it was in black and white, and it was so boring. It was only a minute, like 30. And after 30 seconds, I turned it off on my phone. I couldn't watch it. It was so bad.
So you see a match probably going to happen between those two. AJ Styles, the big news. Well, it's not really news anymore, but AJ Styles coming back in 2 weeks. He's going to go against Roderick Strong. Also with Roderick Strong, there was talk about how he was supposed to go against Paul London, and he like messed up his neck.
Yes, he hurt his neck in a match, definitely.
So that kind of is up in the air for the whole AJ Styles match, could you got to imagine, right?
Yes, without a doubt.
Unless it was taped, and I might just sound like a dumbass right now saying this.
Could have been taped.
Okay, so anyway.
well, to the Steen match, okay, with Cliff Compton, just to get that over with because I have something that's on my mind. Is I see him and Cliff Compton going at it, and I see Chris Hero screwing over Steen from winning, and then them continuing that feud.
Which would make sense.
It would make sense, definitely.
For some reason, I have Matt Taven's name written down. Oh, okay.
Matt Taven was the guy with a really bad list.
Yeah, okay. So the match, the last match of the night, it was Tommaso Ciampa or whatever his name is.
Yeah, whatever his name
is. Who was the TV champion against Silas Young.
Silas Young looks like a 70s porn star who never made it.
We don't really like Silas Young, but he really made my night.
Yeah, he did.
Matt Taven came out, who was the former TV champion, came out.
He threw his ass right out.
He tried shaking Tommaso's hand, and Silas Young just kneed him in the back of the head, got him out of the ring, everyone was cheering, and he left. And then Tommaso Ciampa obviously beat Silas Young, and that was the end of the ROH television. Veda Scott, who's a valet of R.D. Evans. R.D. Evans apparently is 14-0 in every territory, whatever the hell he was doing. And I guess she's...
Blowing him. Yeah.
She's throwing out a challenge to any guy out there to go against the streak.
Yes.
I see probably Chris Hero doing it, just whooping his ass.
That would be great, yeah.
We were talking about... Shit, what the fuck were we talking about? So this will bring us into our trivia question. I stated earlier in the show, Shawn Michaels and Chris Benoit were the only guys to win the Royal Rumble at number one. Who were the two guys that won it at number two? Matt, can you name the two guys?
Rey Mysterio and Vince McMahon.
That would be correct. The answer is Rey Mysterio and Vince McMahon, the one at number two. So it's not impossible for CM Punk to win it this Sunday. I want to get into something that happened on Twitter this past week. I'm not going to name his Twitter account because I don't really care, and I don't really know it off the top of my head. But he was talking, I asked him to listen to our podcast, download it, and he said he would only do it if it was an entire thing of Owen Hart. I said, hey, if you want me to talk about Owen Hart, I'll talk about Owen Hart. I don't really care. I liked Owen Hart. But I'm not going to do an entire podcast about Owen Hart. There's only so much to talk about. I'm sorry, but he's dead.
It's like talking about a dead rapper.
I don't understand it. So, I'll talk a little bit about Owen Hart.
I wake up in the morning and I
like I said, I liked Owen Hart when he wrestled. I never thought he was, like, awesome, like, WWE champion or nothing, but like that.
No.
But I did like Owen. He was something different. He was kind of a high flyer, but he didn't even want to be in the WWE. Bret Hart, and he mentioned this on Chris Jericho, Talk Is Jericho podcast, he said he took his test to be a firefighter, and they were supposed to have a Bret Hart versus Bruce Hart match at WrestleMania, but instead Bret Hart begged him to have it be Owen. So, and the guy's never really won anything. I mean, he won, the European and the Intercontinental Championship.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, obviously he didn't live long enough to get a push.
And he was in the Nation of Domination, so they just
right,
threw him
so,
in there.
Like,
was Eminem before there was Eminem.
So I just don't understand why someone would think that he was, like, the best ever. This guy was saying he was an Owen Hart fan and a CM Punk fan, but he doesn't like Bret Hart. He thought he was boring, a boring technical wrestler. That was the only time I've heard that in the same sentence, boring and technical wrestler.
Let me say this about Bret Hart, okay?
But how do you like CM Punk and you don't like Bret Hart?
I have no clue. All right? I know we're on two different sides of the spectrum with you're a big fan of Shawn Michaels. I've always been a big fan of Bret Hart. But respect both of them as being good, okay?
Right.
Bret Hart, when he called himself the excellence of execution, never missed a beat in the ring. Never made anything look bad. Never botched ever. Once in his whole career. How was he boring? He made everything
I don't understand why. And he wasn't even talking about his promo. He's talking about his in-ring ability.
That's what I mean.
So, the guy's a dumbass, as we know. So,
yeah.
Enough about Owen Hart. Let's talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. They didn't announce anything this past Monday about anyone being in the Hall of Fame. But there was rumors that the Macho Man Randy Savage might be in it. That Jake the Snake might be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think Macho Man should be inducted?
Yes, without a doubt. Macho Man is just so much energy and won his titles and everything, and even in WCW and all that, definitely should be in the Hall of Fame.
I think so, too.
Especially when people are still doing his moves to this day, like CM Punk.
Right.
Shows that he had a big mark on the business.
A little thing about Hulk Hogan had...
To that piece of shit, Hulk Hogan!
...had a physical for the WWE... Didn't pass it. Like I said last week, the guy's in bad shape.
He's too fucking old.
And so he didn't pass physical, so he won't be in a match at WrestleMania. You know, we watched a match a little earlier, Halloween Havoc. DDP was on Stone Cold's podcast, and he was talking about the match he had with Bill Goldberg, and he said it was the best match he's ever had. And we kind of talked about how they painted a picture in that match.
Yes.
And... That was the first time I watched that match. I mean, I listened to DDP talk about the match, but it was the first time I've seen it. And it was pretty funny about, I mean, there's the first time Goldberg missed the spear. He was legitimately hurt. He ended up spearing DDP, and his head hit the mat so hard he gave himself a concussion and couldn't remember the entire match.
Hit his shoulder into the ring post, too.
So, and that it's kind of something I want to talk about because... When you have, I don't want to pick on Cena always, but you have a match in the WWE, I don't care if it's on Raw or if it's on SmackDown or in NXT, it's got to paint a picture.
Yes.
And, I mean, it could be predictable, that's fine, I don't really care if it's predictable, but it's got to be painting a picture for you. And that match was the definition of it. It's Halloween Havoc 98, you want to look it up on YouTube, you can. But that match... It was a cat and mouse, basically, kind of, because Goldberg was the big guy. But DDP legitimately made it look like he kicked the shit out of Goldberg.
Yes.
So, that is something that guys like Sami Zayn and Antonio Cesaro can do in a match in
Punk
the future.
Punk can do it. Brian
Punk
can
do it. Brian
yeah.
can do it.
Foley was the best at doing it.
But even Brian and Punk, sometimes it just seems like they're holding back.
Yeah. They're holding back, too, because they're not hungry enough. Where you see all those ROH guys, they call the best wrestling on the planet. A lot of the times, it is. Because
right.
they're hungry enough to want to get the money and get the fame and get to WWE. So they put that on. And then when they get there, they get kind of lazy.
Right.
And feel like, I don't have to put all this effort in. Why do I care? I'm already making enough. I'm already all over television in the world.
So that'll wrap up this week's episode, episode number 2. Keep hitting the subscribe button. Keep listening to us every week.
Keep following us.
We'll give you the results of the Royal Rumble next week. Probably watch it at my house. Have a few people over. Have a few Steve Weisers.
What?
And enjoy the Royal Rumble. If you can watch it illegally on the internet, do so.
Definitely First Row Sports or WHSports.net, two sites.
Now they're probably going to get shut down now.
Yeah, fuck it.
But, again, follow us at JOB_podcast. JOBWrestlingPodcast.podomatic.com is where you can download this podcast. It's also on iTunes at Relentless716. I'm at Heel Cinny. For Relentless, this is Joe Cinny signing off.